Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. Mid-November already. It's Monday, November the 15th, 2021. Thanksgiving is now just, well, a week from Thursday. We are getting very close now to the holiday season. I always say the fastest 2 months of the year, November, December. Before you know it, it's New Year's Eve. Well, we're on 10:30 and have been now for, I will close out 11 full years at the end of the year and begin year 12 in January. The radio station is 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. I was by the gallery over the weekend, picked up a couple of items that were framed, and always very, very professional job that Moe and Corinne do. What a great team. They have been doing this now for so many years, and it's just a great place to visit, not just to take in your items to have framed, but to also look at the items in the gallery. There's some beautiful things. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on the web at moesgallery.com. Every Monday, we begin our Monday Buckmaster Show with the face-off. Today, our team of commentators, one of two regular commentator teams, Dr. Don Jorgensen, seated to my left, the former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and Shelley Keiss is here, one-time congressional candidate, current chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and she is a member of the Continental School District Board. Shelley, how are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was excellent. Thank you so much for asking.
Did you already get your turkey?
I have my turkey. It's in the freezer. And as you were just saying that, I was thinking sometime later this week, I got to take it out of the freezer.
Well, you want to be prepared because there's a shortage of everything, even Santa Claus. There's a shortage, according to the Wall Street Journal, Don Jorgensen, that Santas are making $100 an hour in some places in the country. There just aren't enough of them. Add that to the shortage of, seems like, everything else. I wonder if Christmas trees will be in short supply.
I hope not. I hope not.
It's not like Panama when you waited to get your tree when they loaded it up in the ship in New Orleans. And when you were living in Panama, you counted the days, probably the hours as a kid, till the ship arrived.
Mr. Buckmaster, you have read our e-tracts. And yep. Yes, sir, I did. I wrote in e-tracts this morning how we used to wait until the Christmas tree ship came in so that we could all go down. And it's a fond memory that I have because all your friends were there with their moms and dads and who got the biggest tree and the fattest tree and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty exciting.
Kind of dried out, though, didn't they, Shelley?
Well, they weren't quite as full of vim and vinegar as they are here.
Not as robust as the ones you'll find come down from Oregon pretty much a couple of days after they're cut. Don, how was your weekend? You did the marathon. Congratulations.
Half marathon down at Old Tucson. It was in honor of Veterans Day. Uh-huh. Had a wonderful color guard out there. It's a local company called Everybody Runs, Everybody Walks. Steve Landau runs it, who's local, puts on great events.
And, could you have walked it?
Not out there, no. Just because of the time limits. Oh, okay. They blocked off part of Kinney Road for a while.
I would have been in that group trying.
Yeah, they did have a 5K, but yeah. It was a deceptively tough half marathon. Lots of hills out there, but a beautiful morning, perfect day for the run. And I'm sitting here happily not on my feet at the moment.
No, you'll be a little stiff for a few days. All right, in about an hour, President Biden will be signing. There'll be a bipartisan infrastructure plan signing ceremony at the White House. Don and Shelley, our mayor, Tucson Mayor Rahina Romero, will be taking part in this signing ceremony. And she put out a news release, her team put out a news release, Don, that there'll be some possible benefits for Tucson.
Oh, definite benefits for Tucson, for Arizona, let alone the whole country. And that's the message today, is that Democrats get things done. You know, it's been the Trump administration tried for 4 years to get an infrastructure bill, and Biden has done it in 10 months. So today is the real infrastructure week. Just in Tucson alone, we're going to see millions of dollars of infrastructure work with roads, with electric charging stations, and with public transit. And even looking Arizona-wide, we're looking at improvements to roads and bridges, improvement to not just water infrastructure, which is critical to Arizona, but improvements in the reclamation projects having to do with the Colorado River and what that means. But something that's equally important is the expansion or the development of expanded broadband access for folks in rural areas of Arizona, particularly valuable for children, because this is an economic component too. We know students, once this is all developed, will no longer have to drive to the McDonald's parking lot to have access to their computers to do their schoolwork or to sit in the school parking lot. So this is a massive improvement that helps education. And obviously, you're talking about an increase in available good-paying jobs. So it's an economic benefit as well as a benefit to working people, to families across the board.
Shelley, are you on board? Is this a good day for America?
Well, the only way I can see it as a really good day for America is that the Biden administration has announced that COVID is over. Because you see, they've taken $200 billion of money that was available for COVID, and they've applied it to this, along with $200 billion, and that was supposed to be being used for COVID, and they've applied it to this infrastructure bill. In addition to that, they've taken $50 billion that was supposed to go for Trump-mandated rebates to Medicare. So this is not necessarily so good for our senior citizens. And as a school board member, I am and have been very honored to be able to ensure that all of our students, I know in Continental, all of our students received broadband access, internet access, and they also provided that in Sunnyside and many of the other school districts throughout the state. But I think what's really important is Don said that Democrats get things done. Well, if Democrats get things done, the greatest challenge that we face right now is that the Government Accountability Office, the nonpartisan office that does the analysis of programs for Congress, for the legislative district of government, or the legislative for Congress, for the legislators. They have announced that this is going to increase the national deficit by approximately $260 billion. So a couple of points to remember is that we've taken $200 billion from COVID. So I'm assuming that COVID is over. We've taken the $50 billion from Medicare rebates, so our senior citizens are doing well. And then we have a $260 billion deficit that will be added to our national debt. So am I on board? I'm always on board and ensuring safe roads and highways and bridges and trains and things like that. But when you're doing it at the expense of our seniors, at the expense of our elderly population and infirm who are suffering most from COVID, and at the expense of increasing our national debt, that makes me concerned.
And it comes at a time, Don, when inflation is going up. I mean, should we be worried about that?
Well, not for this reason. And it's always entertaining to hear Republicans worrying about the national debt when they're not in office, because Trump's billionaire tax gift when he was in office exploded the deficits. And there was no attempt to pay for that or to balance out as it is here. What you're seeing here is expenditures by the government to do good for the people of the United States, not just for the billionaires and the friends of Republicans, but for all people. And it's important to remember, this was a bipartisan bill. There were actually, I believe, 19 senators, Republican senators, that voted for the bill, and 13 or 19 Republicans in the House that voted for it. Of course, zero Republicans in Arizona voted for it. And what's the result of that? The leader of the House is taking action against Republicans who voted for this infrastructure bill to help America. This idea about ending COVID. It seems the Republicans thought it's over with quite a while ago, since Ducey and the Republicans have opposed any kind of efforts to protect the people of Arizona, opposing mass mandates and attacking vaccinations and all of that. So that's a pretty disingenuous. I think the challenge here with regard to the rising inflation is to do everything that the government can, and Biden is doing everything he can to ease the impact of this inflation. That's why the Build Back Better plan is focused on that too. Again, by enacting many of the provisions in that, the economists, and there's been 17, I think, Nobel-winning economic experts, said that passing that bill will help ease inflation because it isn't just a social bill, although there's a lot there to like, okay, including lowering drug costs and helping seniors, but also improving the economy even further than Biden administration has already done.
When we come back, Shelley, you will be up to the plate to talk about inflation and the implications of this toward the inflation issue. But right now, Shelley, what about you talked about your turkey. You have
yes,
your turkey.
Yes, I do.
So what about dinner rolls and pie? What choice? Are you a pumpkin, you and your husband? Do you like the traditional route, or what do you do when the, what kind of pie
well,
do you want on the table?
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping I can go to Mona's Bakery,
yes,
and that I can cut the pie out of their plate and get it into mine. That's what I'm hoping. That's a novel little idea. That's when your mother-in-law's coming for dinner.
Yeah. What about the pie, though? Pumpkin, apple, what do you want to go with?
I'm going with both, actually.
Oh, with both. Okay. Don, what about you?
Well, I come from a New England family. That's where I was bought and raised, and one pie is never enough. So you start with pumpkin. That's traditional.
It's the way we're going to do it.
Yeah,
we'll have apple and pumpkin on the table.
My son-in-law loves apple, and my wife makes the best Toll House pie I've ever had. So
we have
at least three.
Ooh. Well, certainly... Mona's is ready now to take your order for your pies, and apple and pumpkin, they certainly excel at both of those pies. And, of course, they do a great job with their dinner rolls. There's kind of a variety of breads that you can choose from. So get your bread order in, your pie order in, because Steve and the team, they will be working almost 24/7, certainly next week, to get all of those orders fulfilled. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, you can walk into the bakery, or you can make your order on the phone, or you can do the website, monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Kice and Don Jorgensen are coming up next on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, The RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Hugh Hewitt, and keep listening to Bill Buckmaster. For more news and interviews, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Shelley Kais is here, and Don Jorgensen, our team of commentators. Before the break, Shelley, I said that you would be up to the plate. Is inflation... is the Biden, the signing ceremony that's going to be going on at in about, well, 1 o'clock our time, will this infrastructure bill add to the inflationary pressure, in your opinion?
Well, yes. In my opinion, it will. The inflation is hurting all of us. It's what everybody's talking about. You sit down and you meet with friends and they're talking about how much they're paying for gas. They talk about how much they're paying for food that they can't get. One of the things that I talked about in my e-tracks this morning is the fact that if you see it now, buy it, because it likely will not be there. So, yeah, is it impacting us there? But I'll tell you where all of this is really going to, and that is in our schools, in our fire services, and in our police services. Because what's happened now, as we're starting to, in order to give people enough money to survive because of our 5.6 or 5.8% inflation, what's happening is, as our wages are going up, it's hitting our school districts, because we are having to raise our wages, and then we have compressed earnings that we need to address. And we already have a police shortage and a fire shortage right here in Tucson. So this is impacting your way of life. This is a really huge issue. And with Biden's approval rating at 38% and Harris's at 28%, we're not looking so good here right now. These are really big issues. And, you know, I try and take my data from sources that I call reliable. And the Government Accountability Office is a reliable source. That's where I get my numbers. That's where the $200 billion that's coming from COVID release, that's where that information comes from. And I use sources like my own budget at Continental School Board. I can see the impact that inflation, that raising the minimum wage, I see the impact that is going to have on our schools, on our police services, and we're watching the number of murders go up, the amount of crime go up right here in our city. I mean, look at across the country, from New York City to San Diego to Seattle to Miami. We're seeing surges in crime. And those are issues that we need to address. But let's just bring it right back here to Tucson. We don't have enough police officers. We don't have enough firemen and women. We've seen where we had to shut down fire stations. This is affecting you, and it's affecting your neighbors.
Trouble in River City, Don Jorgensen.
Well, it's the only thing about all that's true is that people do vote their wallets. And inflation's up right now, and people look at gas prices, they look at what's on the shelves, and that's tough right now. The gas prices, they're always an issue. When they go up, the president is held responsible. When they go down, the president takes credit, even though both parties understand, and Republicans say this as well, that the president doesn't have control over gas prices. That's a free market economy, which Republicans usually like, unless it doesn't go their way. So you look at what the government can do, a functional government like we have now, and that's why the infrastructure bill is focused on easing some of these pressures, like the supply chain pressures, with getting the ships into ports that will be improved over time, getting the roads in better shape that will allow the trucks to get to the markets faster. It's not a quick fix, but it's a necessary fix. Again, looking at the Build Back Better plan coming in and providing aid that will allow families to save money on drug costs, on child care costs, on health care costs. All of those are designed, too, to ease the pressures that everyone's feeling. The issue about jobs, part of the reason for inflation is we went from a zero economy in the last year and a half under COVID to a booming economy right now. Yes, wages are up. Unemployment is way down. It is tough to find workers. And so that's having that pressure too, because now folks have a lot of money in their wallets that they haven't spent for a year and a half. And so it's also an issue of supply and demand. And I would expect that Shelley here understands supply and demand, since she says she's worked in financial areas, and that causes inflation when the demand is far outstripping the supply, which is what's happening now. So it is a tough time for everyone, but the Biden administration, the Democrats, as we say, are getting things done, taking all the steps they can reasonably take to ease these pressures. And again, what we're seeing in Congress is Republicans are saying no and opposing every step to make the lives of American families better.
Obstructionists?
No, we are not obstructionists. And you know what? When we were energy independent under the Trump administration, the Republicans never said that, in fact, it was a law of supply and demand, that it was an economic issue. We had the Keystone Pipeline going. We had things moving. And you know what, Don? I have been to those petroleum reserves that we have in Louisiana. And I'm telling you, one thing the Democrats are willing to do, ladies and gentlemen, is they're willing to go ahead and start drilling down our reserves that we have. It won't be too long until we don't have anything.
Sorry.
Until we don't have anything left. The issue that I am concerned about right now is we have nothing but crises during this administration, whether it's a border crisis, a supply chain crisis, a COVID crisis, a homeless crisis. All you have to do is drive through the streets of Tucson and see all the homelessness, to see the unemployment. We've got people leaving their jobs. Yes, there's a demand for jobs, and there's a demand for jobs because we don't have workers anymore. And these are real issues that are facing the country. As we start moving forward, if this doesn't change, that 38% approval rating that the Democrats have right now is going to go even lower. We just saw it in Virginia last week. Clearly, the Republicans are leading the way. We are getting things done. And whether we get things done or not, right now, the trust of the American people is in the Republican Party, because people do not feel safe right now.
Well, let's look at reality. Kind of the message the Republicans are trying to sell is that, look, in the past 4 years under Donald Trump, the Republicans created all of these crises that she just described, or did nothing about them, and left these huge deficits, left a massive pandemic, left all these infrastructure challenges at the feet of the Democrats. And the argument they're trying to make is, well, the Democrats aren't cleaning up these mess that the Republicans made fast enough, so let's elect more Republicans. You know, what we're seeing is an intense effort on the part of Democrats to make these improvements. While after 4 years and after 6 years of Doug Ducey creating greater problems and greater crises in Arizona, and it's time for Republicans, if they're not going to be part of the solution, to get out of the way and continue to let Democrats get things done.
And I'm going to conclude by saying one of the things we were going to talk about today was the fact that we're going to the Ninth Circuit because the Democrats aren't happy that the Republicans are going to end up at the top of the ballot. And I wouldn't be happy if I was going to end up at the bottom of the ballot either if my candidates had 38% approval rating.
And rather than have fair ballots, the Republicans want to fix that system, too.
No, we're not trying to fix any system. We're just trying to do what's in the law.
Yeah, rather than what's fair.
We ran out of time. I did want to pick up that whole listing on the ballot. Maybe we can kind of address that in a couple of weeks with you guys. Thank you very much, Shelley.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out their website, moesgallery.com. Looks really nice. They've really revamped it and updated the website, and there's some beautiful things that are available for sale. Thinking about Christmas, maybe that would be a great place to do some Christmas shopping. All right, we will be back with a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines.
CBS News Brief. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon could spend a year in jail and pay stiff fines if convicted on contempt charges. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The House Select Committee believes Bannon played a key role and had specific knowledge about the events of January 6th. Committee members expect the charges against him to serve as a warning to other former Trump aides.
Closing arguments are underway in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Prosecutor Thomas Binger says the self-defense argument should not apply.
This isn't a situation where he was protecting his home or his family. He killed people after traveling here from Antioch, Illinois, and staying out after a citywide curfew.
President Biden's holding a virtual meeting this evening with China's president.
You could call this the most high-stakes Zoom call of the year. The White House understands that with the increasing economic competition between the U.S. and China, they got to manage that, and having these two leaders talk is part of a way to do it.
But first, a bill signing this afternoon. That's CBS's Ed O'Keefe. CBS News Brief, I'm Stacey Lynn.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Thanksgiving right around the corner, and that means the holidays are coming very quickly. And poinsettias always make such a beautiful statement. In your home, they're a beautiful way to decorate, and the poinsettia capital of Arizona is at Green Things. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They grow thousands of these beautiful plants every year. So they're homegrown, and that means they're going to do very well for you during the holiday season. Green Things, River Road, Rito, right by the, on River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, open daily. They're in their 51st year of serving Southern Arizona with beautiful things, which include some of that great handmade merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, and Talavera pottery from Mexico as well. That's in their Zocalo Village on the 13-acre site. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor, who represents the second Supervisorial District in Pima County, Democrat Dr. Matt Hines joins us on the live line. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well, and I'm concerned about these COVID numbers. I just checked today. We're over 500 cases. We've gone up to, at points, over 600. According to the CDC, COVID in Pima County is now, we are in a high transmission area and high level. The CDC is recommending that everyone in Pima County wear a mask when they are in public. How concerned are you, sir?
Oh, very. This is something that we've been seeing on the hospital side, but wearing my other hat as a hospital physician. Something we've been seeing for the past 3 to 4 weeks. We've been seeing the numbers of folks with severe COVID symptoms requiring oxygen support and sometimes ICU care. We've seen those numbers going up and up. And it had been a pandemic restricted almost exclusively to unvaccinated folks, often younger folks, since most of our seniors 65 and up have been vaccinated, over 90% of them have anyway. But now, you know, we're seeing additional cases of folks in their 60s, 70s, even 80s who have been vaccinated, not necessarily gotten their boosters yet, and who are coming in as the immunity from the vaccines wanes. This, of course, tends to dissipate faster in folks that are have older immune systems that are older or that have underlying chronic diseases, immune-related ones or not. And so we are seeing 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds more and more coming in with what we call vaccine breakthrough, serious COVID requiring hospitalization. And those numbers have been going up to the point where my own hospital, I know all the other hospitals in the region, are having to once again make more space for COVID patients, meaning having to turn non-COVID parts of the hospital into, COVID lockdown, not lockdown, but COVID units where we treat exclusively COVID patients because we can't mixing COVID and non-COVID patients together in the same units for safety reasons.
Well, this kind of makes sense about the people over 60. They were the first in line. I know I was trying to get a shot back in February and sure. March. So this makes sense that now that we are seeing breakthrough cases in that over 60 population, because that immunity from the Moderna, the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson, it's waning. Right. That's why I was very anxious, Dr. Matt Hines, to get my booster 2 weeks ago.
Excellent. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's the solution, right? A lot of only one case, at least that I've heard about, of a gentleman being admitted. He had gotten his booster only, I think, 5 or 6 days before he came in. So he basically, that's not enough time for the booster to do its work. It needs 14 days. He had obviously been contracted COVID, probably about the same time he got the booster. So I'm not worried that boosted folks be having issues with symptomatic COVID. It's the ones that still haven't gotten boosted. So it is so vitally important for folks. It's time. Get that booster. Most of the folks, like you're saying, that got their vaccines back in February, March, even April, like you're now at that point where you can get the booster, and you should.
Dr. Hines, your phone is kind of breaking up. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the break right here. We'll come back. I've got a lot I want to talk to you about. Okay. John on the other side of the glass is going to talk to you about the phone connection, and we'll be all set to go after we take the break. Be right back.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico would make a great getaway. Always a fine time of year to go over to New Mexico. Only about a 3-hour drive from Tucson. So much to do in the land of enchantment. Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness comes to mind. Great time of year to do some hiking or visit the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now back on the live line to Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing the 2nd Pima County Supervisorial District. I love to say that word, Supervisorial District. Dr. Hines, before we took the break there, we were talking about boosters. The Pima County Health Department may extend who they recommend can get a booster shot to include all adults. I think that recommendation is imminent. Would it be a good idea, in your opinion?
I do think so. I think that and other jurisdictions are making a similar recommendation. So for all of those who are 18-year-old and up who have been vaccinated, and they are 6 months following their second dose, then we would be recommending that that they go ahead and get boosted.
I was looking at some of these, that report that was in the Arizona Daily Star, where you, your other job besides being a supervisor is a hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center. Significant right. jump, 52 COVID patients in the hospital as of Friday. That's about 20 more than a week ago. Are we back to a situation here where ICU beds are going to be an issue?
Oh, yeah. They're an issue every day in all of our hospitals countywide.
So what can we do? What would you recommend? Will you be bringing this up at the next supervisors meeting about possible reinstating some mitigation factors?
You know, I think we will be we'll be talking about that. I think certainly all options are on the table. All of us, including those who are advocating for additional mitigation strategies, are, understandably getting a little bit tired of this. So I understand that there's some, that there's some resistance to that. But truly, as the CDC is saying, if you're going to be going out and about in public, whether you're, outside, inside, just keep a mask on if you're near other people right now. It's so, so vitally important that people do that. We need to behave well, right? We need to make sure to try to cut this. I mean, I wasn't expecting to have another COVID Christmas, but it looks like that's what we're in for. And this time of year, it's a lot of other, this is the time of year when we have more bronchitis, more viral colds, more just everything, right? The flu season, right? So, but this time last year, we didn't have kids in school. Now we have kids in school, and the 5 to 11-year-olds are just now starting to get vaccinated. They won't be significantly vaccinated or fully vaccinated for weeks. So this, I understand why this surge is happening. I was just hopeful that we wouldn't really be getting to this point. But yeah, we need to look at additional mitigation strategies, and we need to back up our health department when they go forward recommending that all adults get boosted. It's more than what the CDC is recommending right now, but it's one of the best tools we have in the toolbox right now.
20 months now we've been dealing with this. You certainly have been dealing with it, you and your colleagues in healthcare. When you think back that over that 20-month period, how have things changed among your colleagues?
It's the morale issue, I think, is becoming more and more of a problem because all of us in healthcare, nurses, respiratory therapists, physicians, and, you know, pharmacists, everyone, we can certainly get in there and keep going full speed ahead and working extra shifts and working longer shifts for, you know, a while. But after a period of time, a year and a half plus, that's no longer possible for a lot of people. And it's not about the money, right? I mean, it's just emotionally draining. It's really hard to do this work. And a lot of folks are no longer willing to do it. And, you know, it makes staffing the hospitals and our clinics really, really difficult. So that's something, you know, looking back over the past year and a half, that wasn't initially an issue, but now it is. And that worries me because we really need to have all hands on deck. That's why I was so hopeful that as a community, we would come together and, you know, most, if not all people would get vaccinated. The fact that we're still not even at 60% fully vaccinated in Pima County is, I don't know what words to apply. It is heartbreaking, mystifying, right? But, you know, at some point we're just not going to have enough doctors and nurses to care for the people that need it. And who aren't even COVID patients, right? So we really need to, you know, everybody really needs to get vaccinated. And we need to put the politics aside and do what's right to protect those and you know, our friends and neighbors and family.
When let's take a look at politics. You have the you served in the Arizona House of Representatives at a time when the last redistricting is done every 10 years. The boundaries are redrawn. How are things different when you were in the legislature 2009, 2010, when we were talking about a new legislative district? How does it look this time?
You know, that's, I have not, you know, it's an independent process, obviously. You know, the commissioners are doing their work. I believe the draft, there's been a drafting process, multiple versions. I'm not perhaps as up to date on that as I should be because the county lines are drawn by the county, well, the board, actually, the board of supervisors, unlike the legislative and congressional ones. But, you know, it does look like they are just about concluded the process or getting very close to it now that we have all the census data that came out a couple months ago. So, but from what I can tell, it seems like it is going forward and, you know, it seems like it seems like maybe perhaps not as much of a Pima County influence. As you'll recall, the five commissioners a decade ago, three of them came from Pima County. The independent, as well as one Democrat and one Republican, came from Pima County. So I really liked having that kind of Southern Arizona influence. I believe there's only one from Pima County on the five-member commission this time. So not a fan of that. But, you know, I think they're just about concluded, and we'll see some new maps getting finalized here probably in January.
The water rates are going up for 71,000 residents who are living in unincorporated Pima County. Do you have any issues with this? Some of your colleagues certainly do, that Pima, that the Tucson City Council has voted to increase the water rates for this subset of customers. Are you unhappy with it, like some of your colleagues?
I have. So, first of all, it's as you know, the potable water and the water authority is the municipality, the city of Tucson. We at the county deal with the wastewater management, so we don't have a direct influence over this. But yeah, some of the board members are concerned. My concern is pretty focused. I want to make sure that the action of the mayor and council is based on actual like cost of service data, like an analysis that demonstrates that justifies the differential rate. If that is something that has been conducted, which I understand that study has been conducted and the final results are, I believe, going to be coming out sometime later this month or early next month. I mean, the rates, I would have preferred, I guess, that this would have happened in a different order, like show us the data that justifies the rate differential and then discuss it and implement implement that if you wish. You know, I don't like the fact that we're doing this a little bit backward. So I think that we need to see that data to make sure that it justifies what the council did. And if that data does not support a 10% water rate increase for those 71,000 customers, then I believe that the mayor and council will have to reevaluate this and perhaps walk it back.
When you took office, and it's been now about a year already mm-hmm. that you've been in office, the COVID just has dominated the conversation. How do you feel about your first year in office? What kind of a learning curve, or was there a learning curve for you?
Yeah, it was like almost a learning like wall. I mean, it was almost vertical, right? So, in medical school and residency, there's an incredibly steep learning curve as well. And the stakes are very high and there's a lot of pressure. I wasn't expecting, I don't think anyone going into a public position like this would expect that kind of high stakes, like lives of your constituents depend on, you know, a lot of what you're doing, like to the degree that you would expect becoming a firefighter or a physician or a nurse, right? So, but no, it's been a very steep learning curve. I think that, yeah, COVID has dominated. It feels like more like a decade than you know, 10 months, but, you know, it's we're still learning, right? And we've done a lot of public health stuff. I've learned a lot about public health stuff more than I knew before, and so have my colleagues on the board. We're still learning about the day-to-day actions and the rezoning and all sorts of other workforce development and things that I had no expertise on before. So still learning a lot, and was hoping that we would be looking kind of in the rearview mirror at the pandemic fading into the past. Unfortunately, we're just not quite there yet. So
we still have that issue of the Regional Transportation Authority. Are you confident things? I know the last meeting of the board, it was fairly positive, and I know Rex mm-hmm. Scott is going to speak more about that. He is the representative for you and your colleagues on the board. He'll speak more about that with me Wednesday on the show. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that maybe we're moving kind of in the right direction. Is that kind of the way you're feeling?
It certainly does sound more positive than it had been before, you know, that last meeting. I'm hopeful. It sounds like that my colleague Rex Scott will be recommending some changes to the way that the PAG voting occurs that I think might answer some of the concerns that the mayor and council brought forward from Tucson. I think that will be really, really helpful, and we really all need to be focusing together on regional transportation and infrastructure. This is something we can't really. I don't think it's a good idea. It really isn't. We need to keep this regional and not have it all septated out to individual jurisdictions, because that's just not the way that we're going to be able to attract and retain businesses or grow them from within. And in fact, on that topic, I think it's not just COVID, frankly, that is a danger to people of Southern Arizona and to Pima County, but we have increase in aggressive driving, and we've seen an increase in pedestrian and traffic deaths on our streets since the beginning of COVID, actually, even though the number of miles people are driving have decreased quite substantially. So I'm pleased that my office has invited, along with several others, Chuck Marone to Tucson. He'll be here for a 2-day speaking event about his new book, which is Confessions of a Recovering Engineer. And other co-hosts are Rio Nuevo, the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, U of A College of Architecture, Trek Bicycles, others. And he'll be speaking actually at the MSA, MSA Annex 267 South Avenida del Convento tomorrow at 6 p.m. And if folks want to go in person or stream it, they can register at strongtowntucson.com. I think that he'll have a lot to talk with us about this issue in particular.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this issue of the aggressive driving has just gotten so much worse. And unfortunately, Mr. Huckleberry was at the wrong place at the wrong time downtown about almost a month ago. And we're really hoping hoping he's doing better. I know that we don't have a lot of information, but the word we had last was he was recovering, which is great news.
Making improvements, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Matt Hines, thank you very much. We'll look forward to our next conversation. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Dr. Matt Hines, who is the supervisor in District Number 2. That will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition, in the middle of November already, right? All right, back with you at 12:04 tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard will talk about his dark money initiative. That ought to be very interesting. And, of course, Shelley Fishman and the University of Arizona president, Dr. Robbins, will be my guest. Have a great afternoon, everybody.